We are on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph. We're up to the third line. So the Mishnah said, Rabbi Huda Omer Lo Kol. So if you remember, we presented a machlokas yesterday in the Mishnah about how long do you have to identify a body. According to the Tanakhama, you had to identify the body within 3 days because otherwise you were afraid it's going to decompose and you won't recognize it anymore. According to Rabbi Huda, he said it just depends. He says it's not the same across the board. It's going to depend on the situation. So the Gemara asks, Iboy Elohu, Rabbi Huda Ben Bava Lekula Palig O Lechumra Palig. The question is, when Rabbi Huda Ben Bava made that comment and said, not all bodies decompose at the same rain and everything, you know, depends on the context, was that a kula or a chumra? In other words, the Tanakhama said you only have up to 3 days after death to identify a body, and after that we're afraid it's going to decompose to a point that you can no longer recognize it. So the question is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava saying that maybe in some cases you have longer than 3 days, or is he saying maybe in some cases you have less than 3 days? So the Gemara explains, Tashma, Dahu gavra de tova becharmi, the askuhu ave hejia, levasar tlasa yomin, the intsiva rev dimi mina hardala devisu. There was an incident of a person who drowned in the city of Karmi, and they brought his body up by this place called Behedya, and it was already after 3 days, and Rav Dimi from Naharda permitted his wife to remarry. Visu hahu gavra de itva bidiglas, there was a guy who drowned in the Tigris River, the askuhu agishra de Shivstana, and they brought his body up by the bridge of Shivstana, the ansava rava le devisu apuma dishush vinila vasar cham sheyome, and Rava permitted his wife to remarry based on the testimony of this person's friends, even though it was 5 days after his death. So the Gemara explains, I amar pishlama lakula palig inhu da avid Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Ela yamar l'chumra palig inhu da avid kaman. So it makes sense if you want to claim that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is arguing l'chumra. I'm sorry. He's arguing l'kula. He's saying that sometimes you have more than 3 days to testify about the body. So in these stories, you can just say that these Amorim were relying on his opinion, and they were saying that even though it's more than 3 days, but in this particular circumstance, for whatever reason, we can rely on that. But if you're going to argue that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is l'chumra, that he says 3 days is the maximum, you can never do more than three, maybe even less than three. So how could you possibly testify about a person who died, let's say, after 5 days after his death? So the Gemara says, no, shiny maya did some say water is different because water contracts the body, and in theory it can prevent the body from decomposing at such a quick rate. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Didn't we say yesterday in the Gemara that water actually aggravates and exacerbates the wound and actually causes the body to decompose faster? So the Gemara says, no, that's only when there's a wound on the body. If there's a wound, then yes, the water will aggravate and exacerbate the wound. If the body doesn't have a wound, it's just a dead body and it's sitting in the water, the water will actually preserve it and prevent it from decomposing. And again, this is also assuming that you saw the body the minute you pulled it out of the water. You were able to look at the body and you recognized the features and you said, that's the person who died. But if it, let's say there was a delay between the time that the body was pulled out of the water and the time that you saw the body, then there's a good chance that the body might have decomposed. Okay, says the Mishnah. Nafa l'mayim, bein she'esh lahen sof, bein she'en lahen sof, ishto asura. This is a theme that we briefly touched on, but it comes up primarily right here in this Mishnah, about the following case. Let's say a man fell into a body of water. So according to the Tanakhama, it doesn't make a difference what the nature of the body of water is, whether it's a vast ocean or it's a small contained lake. It doesn't really make a difference. In all scenarios, we have to assume that there's an outside chance that the man survived. And again, obviously, you know, obviously assuming that we didn't actually find his body. So if there's an outside chance that he survived, you cannot allow his wife to remarry until you can definitively prove that he died. So Amar Rabbi Meir, Maisa be'echad shenafa levor hagadol, va'ala la'achar shlosha yom. And in fact, to corroborate this idea, there was an incident of a person who had who fell into this very large pit, and he was stuck there for 3 days, and he still managed to get out of the pit after 3 days. So you see that it's not impossible to survive in these types of scenarios. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Maisa besuma shiyarad litvo ba'ma'ara, v'yarad moshcho acharav, v'shohu kidei shetetze nafshon, v'hisiyues neshoseyam. There was an incident where there was a blind person, and his guide, the guide was helping him go down to Tovel in some kind of a cave, a pit, whatever it was, and the guy got stuck there with the guide, and basically they waited, you know, until such time that it was impossible that he could have, you know, survived, and then they allowed his wife to remarry. We referenced this Mishnah back on yesterday's daf, which is that there was an incident of a person from Asya who went down, who was lowered into the ocean, and they only pulled out his leg. So Chazal said that if the upper part of the leg was severed, that's a sign that he's for sure dead, because he, you know, almost certainly bled out. But if it was just the lower part of his leg that was cut off, so then you have to assume that he's still alive. So fine. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Nafa l'mayim bein she'ish lahem sof, bein she'ein lahem sof, ishto asura divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim, mayim sheish lohem sof ishto muteres, v'she'in lohem sof ishto asura. So comes again with the following machlokas. According to Rebbe Meir, it makes no difference what type of body of water the person fell into. There's always an outside chance that he survived, whereas the chachamim distinguish. They say it depends on the type of body of water. If the man fell into what's called mayim sheish lohem sof, which is basically, as we'll see in a second in the Gemara, a contained, let's say like a lake, you know, a relatively small body of water where you can see the entire thing in one shot. So if the guy survives, so then you would have seen him come out of the lake. And the fact that you didn't see him is a pretty good indication that he's dead. So then his wife can remarry. But if he was in what's called Mayim She'en Lahem, so if this very vast ocean, and you know, maybe the guy swam upshore 20, 30 miles away and you didn't see him, so then you have to assume that there's a chance he's still alive and his wife would not be allowed to remarry. So the Gemara asks, Hei chidami Mayim She'esh Lahem Sof, Amar Abaye Kol She'omin Veroa Me'ar Baruch Hosav, as we just said, right? Mayim She'esh Lahem Sof just means like a small contained area where you can see all four sides of the lake in one shot. Hu Gavra de Tava Ba'agma de Samke, Ansiva Rav Shila Lidavisu. There was a person who drowned in the swamp of Samke, and Rav Shila permitted his wife to remarry. So Amarli Rav Lishmuel Tanishamte. So Rav said to Shmuel, let's put Rav Shila into Cheirem, let's excommunicate him because he seems to be going against the halacha. So Amarli Nishalachle Beresha. Let's first send a message to him to clarify what his intentions here were. So Shalchule. So they asked him, Mayim She'en Lohem Sof Ishto Asur Omuteres. They asked him the Shaila, what would the din be if a man drowned or fell into a body of water that was Ein Lehem Sof, that was this endless body of water? So Shalach Lehu Ishto Asura. We have to assume that his wife is forbidden because maybe he survived. The Agma de Samke Mayim Sheish Lehem Sof and Mayim She'en Lehem Sof. They asked him about that particular swamp in that city of Samke. Is that considered to be an endless body of water or not? So Shalach Lehu Mayim She'en Lehem Sofu. That's considered to be Mayim She'en Lehem Sof, which should otherwise mean that the wife is Asura. So the question is, of course, is Umar Mai Taima Avad Haki. So why did you permit this woman to get remarried? So he explained, Mita Taina Anasavri came on the Kavu Vikaime Kemayim Sheishlam Sof Dame Vilo. He came on the Ika Gale, Amor Gale Ashpalu. I thought, said Rav Shila, that was considered to be Mayim Sheishlam Sof because it was considered to be a stagnant body of water. But what I didn't realize was is that because there are these waves that's pushing the current, so that's considered to be like Mayim Shein Lahem Sof, and therefore the wife really should be Esther. So in other words, he was just mistaken in his understanding of the body of water. So the Gemara comments, Kari Shmuel Ale Derav Lo Yunel Tzadik Kolav. So both Rav and Shmuel praised each other for not having come to such a hasty conclusion and just excommunicating Rav Shila. They first clarified what had actually happened, and they said this psukim in Mishlei that nothing bad befalls a tzaddik, and Rav said about Shmuel that salvation comes with counsel. When you talk it out to the other person, then you'll realize that he wasn't being malicious; he just misunderstood the case. Okay, then where it says Tanya, I'm a Rebbe. There were these two guys who were fishing in the Jordan River with these nets. And one of them went into like a little cave with a fish pond. So basically, one of them went into this little fish pond cave. Then it got dark. And he wasn't able to find his way out. So he just kind of waited there. And the other guy, the friend, assumed that the guy died. He went home and told the other person's family that he had died. Then what happened was, the next morning the sun comes up, he's able to see, he walks out of the fish pond, he comes back home, and he sees that there's this massive eulogy going on for him, even though he's still alive. So Amar Rebbe, Kama Gedolim Divrei Chachamim She'amru Mayim She'ish Lahem Sof Ishto Muteres, She'ein Lahem Sof Ishto Asura. This proves the greatness of the statement of Chazal, that you're only allowed to permit the wife to remarry in a scenario of Mayim She'ish Lahem Sof, where you could see all the boundaries of the water. In this scenario, the guy thought that the person died, but he was just sitting in the cave waiting for the sun to come up. So asks the Gemara, Ihachi Mayim Sheish Lahem Sof Nami Lechesh Lemechila Shal Dagim. Why aren't we concerned for this idea, even for Mayim Sheish Lahem Sof, for water that's contained? Why don't we say, well, maybe the guy went into some fish pond, and that's why he's not resurfacing? So the Gemara says, no, but Mayim Sheish Lahem Sof Mechila Shal Dagim Lo Shchich. It's not common to find this cave and fish pond inside of a small lake, but rather inside of a vast ocean. Amar Rav Ashi, Hada Amru Rabbanan Mayim Sheim Lahem Sof Ishto Asura Hani Mile Be'inish. So first the Gemara has a Hava Amina, that maybe we should draw a distinction depending on the type of person that comes out of the water. In other words, that which the Chachamim said, that if a person drowns in Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, this vast ocean, that his wife is forbidden because maybe there's an off chance he survived, that's true if the husband is just some no-name guy that no one knows, and even if he had gone out of the water, no one would have necessarily recognized him. What if the person who drowned was a very prominent, significant Talmud Chacham that everyone knew who he was? So then the Gemara says you can allow the wife to remarry, because if the guy had really resurfaced, you would have heard about it. If some massive Talmud Chacham had drowned and then he resurfaced somewhere, you probably would have heard about it. But the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says, "Velo, he loshna inish da alma, veloshna tzurim mirabanan, diavadin lechadchila lo." The Gemara rejects this distinction. It says it doesn't make a difference how prominent or not prominent the person is. At the end of the day, the Gemara says that that which we said in the Mishnah, that if a person drowned in mayim she'ein lahem sof, that his wife can remarry, that's only b'diavad. Lechadchila, she's not supposed to get remarried. B'diavad, if she did, we're not going to make her get divorced from her new husband. Then the Gemara says, "Tanya, Amar Rabban Gamliel, pamachas ha'isi mahalich basfina, v'ra'isi sfina achas shenishbera, v'ha'isi mitzta'er al tamen chacham sheba umanu Rabbi Akiva, u'ch'alisi bi'abasha bavi yasha v'don lefanei b'halacha." So basically what happened was is that Rabban Gamliel witnessed a boat capsizing, breaking apart at sea, and he assumed that everyone on the boat died, and he was and he was in pain because Rabbi Akiva was on the boat. And then Rabban Gamliel comes back to shore and he starts to, you know, whatever, to sit in court and to adjudicate halacha, and then Rabbi Akiva appears before him. So Amar lo b'ni mihe alcha, he said to Rabbi Akiva, how did you escape? How did you get out of the ocean? Amar li daf shol sfina nezdamin li v'chol gal v'gal shabalai ni'anati lo roshi, mikan amru chachamim im yavo resham aladam ye'na'anea lo roshi. So a famous idea from the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva basically said that there was a little plank of wood that broke off from the boat that I grabbed onto, and every time that a wave came, I just ducked my head and let the wave pass over me, and then I was able to make it back to shore. And the Gemara relates this to an idea that if a Rasha or a group of Rishayim tries to overtake you or tries to influence you, just kind of bow your head and let the tide pass, and then eventually everything will go over you. So Amarti ba'osa sha kama gedolim divrei chachamim shamru mayim sheish lahem sof muteres mayim sheish lahem sof asur. And again, this highlights that halacha that we keep on referencing, that if it's mayim sheish lahem sof, so then the wife is allowed to remarry, but if it's mayim sheish lahem sof, then she is not. Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva pamacha seisi mahalich basvina vera isi svina achas shemita refes bayam ba'isi mitzar al tamar chacham sheba umanu Rabbi Meir kisha alisi limedinas kapot kia ba'viyasha v'dal lefarei b'halacha Amarti lo b'ni miha alcha Amar li gal tir dani lachaviro v'chaviro lachaviro ad shehikiyani li abasha Amarti ba'osa shag kabagdolim derech chacham shamru mayim sheish lahem sof ish tabuteres mayim she'ein lahem sof ish tabasur. Again, another story almost identical to the previous one, where Rabbi Akiva witnessed a boat with Rabbi Meir on it, and the boat was capsizing, and he thought that Rabbi Meir had died, and then Rabbi Meir eventually came in front of him when he was adjudicating halacha, and he said, "How did you escape? How did you survive?" And he said that one wave passed me to another wave, and eventually I washed up on shore, and that's how I survived. Okay, says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Nafa legova rayos ein miidin alav, lachafura melea nechashim ba'akrabim miidin alav, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira omer, af lachafura melea nechashim ba'akrabim ein miidin alav, chayshinan shema chabarhu, v'sanakama agav itzitza maskele. So the Gemara says the following: if a guy falls into a lion's den, a pit of lions, you cannot testify that he died. It's not 100% certain that the lions ate him. What if a guy fell into a pit with snakes and scorpions? So that's a machlokas. According to the Tanakama, you can assume that he was killed. You can testify about him right away. But according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, you cannot, because there's an off chance that maybe he's a snake charmer, a scorpion charmer. He's able to prevent them from attacking. Whereas the Tanakama will respond to that and say, even if he is a snake charmer, but when he falls on top of the snakes and scorpions, the pressure of his fall is going to cause them to attack even before he has the chance to charm the snakes or scorpions. Tanu Rabbana, Nafa l'soch kivshan ha'ish mi'idin alav, li'yora melea yayin v'shemen mi'idin alav, mishum Rabbi Acha amru shel shemen mi'idin alav, m'mnei shehu mavir, shel yayin ein mi'idin alav, m'mnei shehu mechabeh, amru lo t'chilasu mechabeh v'sofu mavir. If a guy fell into a furnace, he fell into, into some kind of an oven, you can assume that he was killed, that he's dead, you can testify about him. If he falls into a scalding hot vat of wine or oil, so according to the Tanakhama, again, you can assume that he died. According to Rabbi Acha, you have to draw a distinction. If he fell into a scalding vat of oil, then yes, you can testify that he died, because that, you know, basically that when the guy falls in, it actually makes the oil even hotter. Whereas if he fell into a vat of scalding wine, he'll actually cool the wine down. Whereas the Tanakama will respond and say, no, that even though initially he may cool it down, but eventually it's going to get hotter again and it's still going to kill him. Okay, then the Gemara says, then we said in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Meir, Ma'isa be'echa shenafa levor hagadol, right? Rabbi Meir quoted an incident about a guy who fell into this large pit and he survived for 3 days and he came out of the pit. So you see that people can survive even in these extenuating circumstances. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Amru lo Rabbi Meir, ein maskirin ma'isa nisim, right? You can't mention miraculous events as a proof text for halacha. In other words, Rabbi Meir seems to be trying to derive from this, you know, crazy story of a guy who survived in a pit for 3 days, that this should somehow prove that, you know, just because a guy drowned in this vast ocean, it doesn't necessarily mean that he died. Maybe somehow he survived. So the Gemara asks, "My ma'isa nisim, what's the miraculous aspect of the story?" It can't be the fact that he didn't eat or drink for 3 days, because that's not so miraculous. We see that already from Megillas Esther, right? Where Esther decreed a fast for 3 days. That was what everybody did. Everyone fasted for 3 days and didn't eat or drink. The miraculous aspect of the story of Rabbi Meir is the fact that the person didn't sleep for 3 days, because the Gemara tells us famously in Maseches Shavuos, let's say a guy guy takes a shvua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you give the guy malchus for violating the din of shvua sheker or shvua shav, and you give the guy malchus right away, and you let him go to sleep right away. Because the din is that a person can't not sleep for 3 days straight. That was the miraculous part of the story. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
They're testifying to his death. Why don't they just testify that he fell in? I mean, why do they have to testify to his death?
Well, that's the whole point, though. Meaning, because if you assume that the guy can somehow survive, so saying that he fell into a pit is meaningless, because if the guy's still alive, then his wife can't get remarried. Right? The whole point of these stories is to try and figure out whether he survived or not. If he's dead, then his wife can remarry, and if not, then obviously she can't. So that's part of the issue here. So the question is it considered to be, you know, out of the blue, is it considered miraculous for a guy to survive in a pit for 3 days? So the Gemara says, from the vantage point of eating and drinking, it's not. But from the vantage point of not sleeping for 3 days, it is. So now the Gemara pushes back on that. The Rabbi Meir might time. So why does Reb Meir think that it's not so miraculous for the guy to not sleep for 3 days in the pit? So the Gemara says, no. Amar of Kahana, keep an agav, keep an havu. Because apparently there were these arches on top of arches in the pit. So they're actually, even though he was stuck in the pit, there was still a way for him to sleep. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan, dishisha havu. Whereas the Rabbanan will say, no, those arches were made out of marble. So there was no way to actually sleep on them because you would just slide off of the arches. The Rabbi Meir, yashur de la masrech ben ayim porta. Whereas Reb Meir would say, no, that there, it was impossible. There was some way that he grabbed onto a part of the arch and he was able to sleep a little bit, so therefore that wasn't considered to be so miraculous. Okay, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa bevito shal nechun yachov reshichen shenaflo levor hagadol uvova hodil leRabbi Chanina ben Dosa shar Rishona amar lehem shalom shniya amar lehem shalom shlichus amar lehem also. There was an incident where the daughter of Nechunya was a person who would basically dig wells for the Jewish people. So his daughter fell into a pit, and they told Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And the first 2 hours he said she's fine. And the third hour he said she's out of the pit. She's alive and well. So amar labiti. So when the daughter came out, they asked her, who got you out of the pit? There was this ram that was walking by, and he sensed that I was in there, and the older person who was leading him, the shepherd who was leading him, he followed him to the pit, and he took me out of the pit. So they asked Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, are you a prophet? How did you know that she was in there and that she was okay? He says, it's unfathomable to me that a person who spends their lives dedicated to digging wells, to providing water for the Jewish people, should have their daughter die in such a way. So there's no way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would ever allow such something to happen. However, the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Abba, afal pichein meis bino batzama, shene'emar usvivav nis arama od, melamit shah Kadosh Baruch Hu medaktikim svivav kechon asayra, Rabbi Chanina amar mehacha kel na'aratz besod kidoshim rabba v'norah kol svivav." Despite the fact that there was no way that his daughter could have died in this fashion, his son died by thirst. His son died from lack of water, and the Gemara quotes two possible psukim for this, for the first, both of them from Tehillim. So the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Usvivavnis arama," that your surroundings are scared, are terrified. So the Gemara derives the famous idea that Hashem deals with tzaddikim kechod hasayra, that even if they misstep even in a slight way, so the punishment, right, the repercussions for that are severe. And another source for that idea, also from Tehillim, "Kel na'aratz besod kedoshim rabba," that God sits in the council of those who are holy, and then says, "Vinora," calls me, like, his fear, his awesomeness is imposed on those who are close to him. Okay, says the Mishnah, "Afilu shama min hanashim." Omros Mace Ishploni Dio. Let's say you hear a group of women who are schmoozing, they're talking, and they say, "Oh, did you hear that Reuven died?" So that's enough to already allow to allow Reuven's wife to get remarried. Then the Mishnah says, "Rabbi Huda Omer, Afilu Shama min Hatinokos Omrim, Hareanu Hochin Lispod Vilikboris Ishploni, Bain Shahu Miskavinu Vain Sheino Miskavin." Let's say you hear a group of kids who are saying, "Oh, we're going to eulogize and bury Reuven." So again, whether they're intending to testify, whether they're just kind of, you know, shooting the breeze and talking, and you know, that's what they happen to say, again, that's enough to rely on to allow Reuven's wife to remarry. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Omer be Yisrael afal pi shehu miskaven uva'ovid kochalim imhaya miskaven ein edu so edus. If the person is a Jew, so then it doesn't make a difference whether they're intending to testify when they say that Reuven died or we're going to eulogize Reuven. Whereas if it's a non-Jew who's making the statement, the only time we're going to grant them credibility is if they're not specifically intending to testify. Again, we'll see in the Gemara in a second how we know whether that's their intention. So the Gemara then asks, V'dilma la'azle, how do we know that these kids who are saying, "Oh, you know, we're going to eulogize Reuven," that they actually went? In other words, how do we know that Reuven actually died? Maybe they were just making up a story. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, de kamrei harenu ben milispodu milikboras eshploni." They said, "We're coming back from the eulogy. We're coming back from the burial." In other words, they're saying that Reuven was already been buried and eulogized. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean?" V'dilma kamtsa ba'alma shachiv lei va'asiku lei al shemei. The Gemara has an interesting question. Maybe no one actually died here. Maybe they had a pet grasshopper that they named Reuven, and they were so attached to their pet grasshopper grasshopper and they buried the grasshopper and they made up a whole story that Reuven the grasshopper died, and that's what they meant. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be. The Ka'amri came v'chein Rabbanan havu hasam came v'chein tzavdani havu hasam, because they said these rabbis were there, these eulogizers were there. It's, you know, highly unlikely that you have rabbis and eulogizers at a funeral for a grasshopper. So the odds are it was actually talking about a real person. Okay, then we said uva ovid kochavim imhaya miskavim. We said that if a non-Jew was intending to testify when he said that Reuven died, so then we don't believe him. But if he wasn't, then we do. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela shen eskavin lahatir, avon eskavin lahayid eduso eda. So the Gemara says the only time we don't accept the non-Jew's statement is if he's specifically intending to testify that the wife can remarry. But if all he's trying to do is just stand to get edus, so then that's okay. So the Gemara says, hechi adin, how would we know what his intention is? Amar Rav Yosef, ba lebezdin va'amar ish ploni meis, he see you as ishto, zehu neskavin lahatir, meis stam, zehu neskavin laedus. Basically, it just depends on how he formulates it. If he says that Reuven died, now let his wife remarry, then obviously he's intending to allow her to remarry. That we would not accept. But if he just said Reuven died and that was it, so then we would accept it. Itmar nami amar reish lakish lo shanu ela shen eskavin lahatir avon eskavin lahayde do so edus. Fine. The Gemara says amar le Rabbi Yochanan lo kachay maisa beoshia berivi shehi tiram shmona im shmonim bachamisha zakenim. Wasn't there a similar incident with Oshia Berivi who together with 85 elders permitted someone to remarry based on this testimony of a non-Jew? So amar lehem lo shanu ela shen eskavin lahatir avon eskavin lahayde do so edus velo hodu lo chachamim. So despite the fact that the Gemara just quoted that if a non-Jew said something not with the specific intent of permitting the wife to remarry, but just stam gave edus, so that's okay, the Gemara says that the Chachamim did not agree to that distinction. They assumed that anything that a non-Jew says is not going to be acceptable no matter what. So the Gemara says, Ela masnisa dekatani uva ovi kochavim imhayim eskavin ene edus edus heichim mishkachasla. So the question then is, if that's the case, so when the Mishnah said that if a non-Jew was not intending to testify, that if he was intending to testify that his edus is invalid, what's the case there? So the Gemara says, b'mei siach lefi tumo, ki ahuda hava ka'amar va'azil man'ika bechivai, man'ika bechivai, shachiv chivai, va'atzva Rav Yosef ledevisu. Basically, it's what the Gemara refers to as meisiach lefi tumo. Meisiach lefi tumo is basically another way of saying, like, shooting the breeze. In other words, let's say a person is just stopped talking, you're having a conversation, and then in the middle of conversation, tangentially comes up, oh, by the way, Reuven died. It was totally out of left field. It was clear he wasn't trying to say that from the outset. It just came up in conversation. So the Gemara says, in that scenario, the guy has nothing to lose. He's not trying to trip anyone up. He was talking about something else, and then he segued right into Reuven died. So the Gemara says, in that case, you can believe him. The Gemara has a quote several stories here. So the first story is that there was a guy who said, who here is from the house of Chivai because Chivai died? So in that scenario, Rav Yosef allowed Chivai's wife to remarry because, again, the guy clearly wasn't intending to say, you know, from the outset that he died. He was just stam, he was talking. The Gemara says similarly, Hahu dahava ka'amar va'azil vaili lefarasha zeriza dahava b'fum padisa v'shachiv ansava Rav Yosef v'itema rava ledevisu. A similar story. There was a guy who came, right, this non-Jew who said, you know, woe to the brave warrior from Pumpadisa who died. And again, Rav Yosef or Rava allowed his wife to remarry. So there was a guy who said, who here is from the house of Chasa because Chasa drowned? So Amar Rav Nachman, ha'elokim achlu kavre lechasa. So he said, Rav Nachman took a shua that the fish have eaten Chasa, which is another way of saying that he drowned. So the Gemara says, midibure de Rav Nachman azla devisu de Chasa ve'insava v'la amri lavelo midi. Based on Rav Nachman's statement, based on his testimony, Chasa's wife remarried and no one said anything to her because clearly Rav Nachman assumed that he had actually died. Amar Rav Ashi, shmamina, hada Amar Rabban on mayim she'in lohem sofish to asura hanemilu lechanchila avali nasev lamafkina mine. So you see from this version of the Gemara, that which we said in the Gemara earlier, that if a man drowns in Mayim She'ein Lahem Sof in this vast, boundless ocean, that his wife can remarry, that's only Bidiyevin. In other words, if she already remarried, we're not going to make her get divorced. But Lechachila, she's not supposed to. That's why the wife went of her own accord after she heard Rav Nachman say that Chaso was eaten by fish, then she went and remarried. But that's an indication that Lechachila, she wasn't supposed to do that. However, the second version of the Gemara says, no, Ika da Amre, Insava Rav Nachman Ledivisu, Amar Chasa Gavaraba, Isay, Im Isa de Salakala Isle Lemil Savilo, Iloshna Gavaraba, Loshna Lav Gavaraba, Diavad. The second version of the Gemara thinks to say the opposite. It says that really, that actually Rav Nachman Lechadchila allowed Chasa's wife to remarry. The reason being, because apparently Chasa was a very prominent individual, and he assumed that if he had really survived, someone would have known about it. But the Gemara again rejects that, as we already rejected earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the prominence or lack of prominence of the individual has no bearing on this halacha. And the Gemara says we really only allow this Bidiyeved Lechadchila, even in the case of Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, we're not going to allow her to remarry. Okay, then the Gemara says, Hahu Ovid Kochavim Dahava Ka'amar Lili. Yisrael, k'tol aspasta v'shadi l'chevai b'shabza, v'ila katilulach k'dekatilul l'floni bar Yisrael, da'amrile bashili k'der b'shabas v'labashili uktilte. So very strange story. So there was a non-Jew who was threatening a Jew and said, you better harvest this grain or fodder, whatever it was, to feed my animals on Shabbos. That's of course a malacha. That's a malacha of kotzer. He said, you better do that, and if you don't, I'm going to kill you. Just as I killed Reuven, because I told Reuven to cook for me on Shabbos, and because he didn't, I killed him. So now the question was, Reuven's wife had heard what the guy said about the fact that he claimed that he had killed her, that he had killed him. So the verse says, Shama devisu, v'afele kameh d'abaye, shahisa tlasa rigle, amrle rav ada barava zila kameh d'rav Yosef t'charev sakina. So basically, she had asked Abaye what to do, and Abaye had waited around for three regalim because he wanted to get all the talmidei chachamim who came for the shalosh regalim, for the shiurim to get their opinion. And eventually, Rav Ada said, go to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is very sharp. He'll know what to do. So adla kameh, pasha meha masnisin, ove kochavim shahim mocher peres bashuk, v'amar peres halalu shal arlahein, shal azekahein, shal neta revahein, lo amar klum, lo niskavin, el lahashpiach mikcho. There's a famous Mishnah that appears in Masechet Demai and a few other places also, which basically talks about the following. Let's say a non-Jew makes some kind of a statement about the status of his fruit. Let's say he says, these fruit are Arla, or these fruit are from Azeka, which basically means that they're a Peru Shmita, or these fruit are Netta Ravai. Now, normally, saying those things are actually incriminating, because Arla you can't eat, Netta Ravai, right, Ravai you have to eat in Yerushalayim, and instead of Tahara, you have to redeem it, and of course, Peru Shmita, Peru Shmita have to be eaten, you know, again, you have to be careful about how you eat them. So why on earth is this non-Jew saying these things that are incriminating his fruit? So apparently he doesn't realize what he's saying. He thinks that by saying, oh, this fruit's only 2 years old, he thinks that he's actually trying to oversell the fruit. He's trying to praise this fruit by saying how good it is. He doesn't realize that it's actually detracting from the quality because of all the halakhic barriers to Arla and Shemitah and Netta Ravai. So the Gemara says in all these cases, you can basically just ignore him because the assumption is he's just a salesman trying to sell his fruit. Even if he says the fruit is Arla or Ravai, we don't have to take him at his word. So the Gemara says, Abba Yudan ish tzaydan amar, maisa Yisrael va'ovi kochavim shahochu baderech uva ovi kochavim va'amar chavala Yehudi shahayimi baderech shemes baderech ukfartiv. There was a non-Jew who was traveling with a Jew, and the non-Jew said, woe to the Jew who I was traveling with, who died on the road and I buried him, v'hisiyu ishto, and they allowed his wife to remarry based on that. V'shuv ma'isev v'kolar shal b'nei adam shayu mahalchin la'antochi. There were a group of people who were enslaved or they were chained up and they were being taken to Antochia. Uva ovi kochavim echad va'amar chavala kolar shal b'nei adam shemesu ukfartiv v'hisiyu esnesho sam. Again, the non-Jew said, woe to these group of Jews who were in chains, who all died, and I buried them, and again, they allowed their wives to remarry. And then finally, the 60 people went to the city of Beitar that was under siege in the days of the Romans. Woe to the 60 people who were coming to the siege city of Beitar, who died, and I buried them, and again, they allowed their wives to remarry. Again,